Proverbs chapter 10. It's not really that long. It's less than two columns in my Bible. But you're just going to see it's like... And I'm going to read through it fast because we're going to just walk through each verse. And just the title of the message, contrast between the righteous and the wicked. The blessings for the righteous, what I'll call the consequences for the wicked. And so it is... I say that because, again... I think it's the truth, but I always remind myself this. It's not that God's going zap to the wicked. There's judgment day coming where all the lost will answer very specifically, eternally, for their very specific works, their motive, and everything that goes along with it. But I believe these are just simple consequences, right? I met that man tonight, Doug, and I said, well, you know why you're sick, right? And he goes, no. I said, sin. I said, Doug, you're going to die one day. You know, I mean, it's like 30 seconds after I meet the guy. But it's real. You know why Doug's wanting prayer? He's afraid to die. And I'm not saying we all, I don't look forward to thinking, how am I going to die? But I'm pumped about dying. You know, I just, whatever the process is, I just don't try to think about. But I told Doug, I said, my best day is going to be when I'm dead. He's like, what? I said, I'll be with the one that loves me. Loves me more than anybody ever could. So let's read this, Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise man, and so boom, he just jumps in. A wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of a mother. It's going to be staccato, right? If you've music, you know, La Cucaracha, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you play that in a staccato kind of fashion, you know. Da, 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 you know, and so it's kind of when you hear that peppy kind of Hispanic music, it's in a staccato kind of fashion. Am I saying the word right? Okay. And so for some reason it wasn't sounding right coming out of my lips, but it's a boom, 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 boom. It's righteous this, you know, wicked this, righteous, and it's just the contrast. And there's a few verses that just speak of one, the righteous or the wicked. So, you know, There's a couple of themes. I was going to do it themed, and I just thought, no, it really wasn't. There's a couple of themes. One is a diligence or work ethic. You'll see there's about five or six verses that deal with that. The lips, the tongue, our speech. There's about seven or eight verses that deal with that. And then it's really just the overall theme of this. And so rather than highlighting five or six verses out of 32, you'll see there's a little bit of a theme, diligence, work ethic. You know, we must be people... of discipline, right? Remember this, the word disciple comes from discipline. We must have discipline in our life, and we need to ask the Lord for that. If you were raised to be a hard worker and have discipline in your life, you are blessed. Take that discipline, take that approach, and apply it to spiritual things. And you'll never regret it. Chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, a lazy hand, a weak hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool, it's a kind of a loud mouth, obnoxious, you know, just bragging, like, look at me kind of person, a prating fool shall fall. Verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. Winketh with the eye would, like, you know, with a deceitful thing, it would be non-verbal cues. watch this. So that's kind of the thought there. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. And the prating fool is mentioned twice. We should take notice. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Verse 15 is one of the verses that doesn't really fit, but we'll talk about it. It's giving a general truth. We'll just talk about that. Verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, we would say a tornado, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Again, just a contrast between the righteous and wicked. And so, without further ado, let's begin slide number 2. Amen? Are you encouraged? Right? So just so you know, that is slide number 1, the way it does. So I put this, and I know, you guys, this is I think you'll be able to see that. Can you see that? Okay. Thank you for that. Can you see that in the back row? Althea, you can. All right. Steve, can you see that? Okay. All right. That's good. All right. So I cannot see that on the back screen. And so you might see me turn a little bit more. And so it's helpful for me, right? So just look at verse 1. Just look at verse 1. He said, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. If you see the contrast there, a wise son or daughter maketh a glad father and the heaviness of his mother. Now, you see, it's one thing. There's just several avenues that the Bible says this. Parents, always remember this. Would you agree with this? I feel like with our kids, it's a sweet time right now, right? They're overwhelmed in life and they need us, right? And they call us more, at least Deb, she answers the phone. They call us more and it's sweet, isn't it? And, you know, it's good, right? I want you to know this, no matter how old they are. So our kids are soon going to be 32, 30, and 28. And it is, kids want to please you. They want your approval. Find a way to give them approval. Not falsely, And you know, we always need to keep instructing. But I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that, that it's God-given. It's the same sense, right? If you're born again, you innately, because of the Holy Spirit living in you, you want to please the Father. Your life is spent trying to please the Father. And so that your kids, just make sure of that. Do all you can that you will remain part of their lives with influence. And I love this, right? I try to encourage my kids. They know what I want. I don't have to tell them 100 times. And I want to let them know, man, you know what? I do warn them sometimes, but I want to let them know, you know, that was a good decision. I think God's pleased with that, right? And I try, I'm really working on this because I don't see him that much, right? I don't see him that much. And my bent is, hey, let me tell you what's going wrong. I don't want to be that way. But kids, I want to tell you this. Just remember this. It is, you want to please your father. So don't you love the Bible? It doesn't say a wise son makes a proud father. Well, I don't use that word. It says a wise son makes a glad father. I tell my kids, you have pleased me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, he tells us, you've pleased me. And so I know, you know, so I don't try to use the word pride. They makes a glad father. And this is, I love this verse, and I'll pick up the pace. And I'm okay if I don't finish chapter 10, just, you know, not bent. I'm not going to keep you here until midnight. Because I thought this might be the way Proverbs went, but it was, I think we were able to go through without feeling rushed with the first 9 chapters. But it's also this. This also distinguishes the heart of parents. The difference between dads and moms. And I'm not saying this is always right. And I think there could be some issues with this. It's a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of a mother. And here's why I think that. Mothers just mourn over it. It's overwhelming to them. We fathers, loser, move on. Got to be careful of that. Remember what the Bible said John the Baptist would do? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Very dramatic. It's something that I've not preached it heavily, but it can be preached in that just phrase. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. And dads, if we're not careful, we can check out and not stay engaged. Moms don't. It's the heaviness of the mother. This is just God identifying that. It is, mothers are better nurturers, but man, they everything is just felt by them. And that's a great thing. That's not me criticizing women. I'm just telling you this, what I see in this, I see in my own personal life, sometimes I'm like, next. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be tender. And I tell you this, I think we need to let it be a little heaviness of our heart. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, but I think there's a good burden there. Understand this? And so what we go through tonight, and what we're going to go through, and you'll see this, it's going to be a lot like this in future chapters, is we've talked maybe more than you wanted. You're like, wisdom again. I've heard this before. So the Bible gave us an overdose of wisdom. You need wisdom. You need understanding. You need wisdom. You need understanding. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than jewels. It's more valuable than rubies. You need wisdom. 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 Now he's going to tell you, let me tell you what it results in. Okay? Big full court press on you need wisdom. But now he's going to tell you what it results in. You want to please your parents, and all kids do. But sometimes kids, you know, just they're so deceived of the devil, or maybe we're so hard that we make it seem like they could never please us. We must work on that. Wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Look at verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. So you just see those. I could have just maybe delivered from death, and treasures profit nothing. I want you to understand this. The Bible doesn't deny this. If you pursue wickedness, you're going to get some treasures. Okay? There's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible, look at verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but it's fool's gold. Fool's gold, it's fake gold. You will get some treasures if you pursue wickedness, but it will profit you nothing. And so then the contrast, look at this in verse 2. But righteousness delivereth from death. At the end of the day, when I looked at that man tonight, he was worried about death. He had no peace about death because he didn't know the gospel. He doesn't know the gospel. He doesn't know Christ personally. And I'm not saying you should, I'm a little bit morbid. You know, I'm not saying you should be like, I can't wait to die. I don't think that's, you know, that's for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. If we can have that spirit of the Bible, that would be good. But it's this, it's that, but righteousness delivereth from death. And so I can be a little bit unbiblical when I talk about me dying. It's not really me dying, because Jesus said, if you believe on me, you shall never die. This is just my carcass is going to die. The real Steve will never die. The real Steve already has eternal life. The real Steve already is eternal. And I've been saved. So understand this. When you get old, that's what matters. I just told you last week about Dick Van Dyke, right? He's 100 years old, and he goes, you know what I found? The older you get, the more you want to live. He doesn't have peace. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. We've all heard this. You can't take your substance into eternity. He says this. You got to love this. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Our body may be marred. Our body may be burned. Our body may be attacked. Our body may die for the cause of Christ. But I love this. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous. Remember this? When it says righteous, those that have been made right, those that have been made holy only through Christ. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. I was talking to Dakota just this past week, and so he gives me a review of the messages where he goes to church, and he hasn't joined yet, and he may be moving, and so we'll still have patience with him. So he told me the preacher preached on Cain and Abel. So he had this question for me. He said, does it matter that we do what's right if our heart's not right? Does it matter if we, you know, like go to church, but our heart's far from it? And I told him this. I said, well, what if a preacher got up and said, if you wake up and you don't want to come, stay home. That'd be bad advice, wouldn't it? But he did this. Here's what he did. And so the preacher, I got to be super careful. I'm not really, I said, well, that preacher clearly told you that Cain didn't do anything right. His heart was wrong and his execution was wrong. Didn't he tell you that? He said, no. I said, well, it doesn't mean a more complete message would have been Cain's heart was wrong and his execution was wrong. Cain should have brought a blood sacrifice 100% without a doubt. That would have been given by God. Job would have gave sacrifices for his children, right? Never saved a soul, never removed sin, but it was picturing the Messiah to come. Because here's what I told him. I said, understand this. It is that Cain represents everything that is in the world today. God, you will accept my best. You will accept what I bring. You will accept what I do. And that's all I'm going to do. There was no indication of any godly sorrow in Cain when God confronted him. Cain was just upset for the mark that was put upon him and the consequences of that mark. You understand this? So I told Dakota, I said, it is the only way to be righteous is through Christ. And so, yes, I do believe our motive matters. But I also told him that it is, so you should do what is right and your heart will follow. Do what's right. And so verse 3, look at it again. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. These are such good truths. I love this. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. it will mean nothing if cast away. Look at verse 4. It says, he that becometh poor, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It's just a simple truth, right? Riches come from diligence, and poverty comes from a slack hand. It's, again, consequences. It is our pursuit, our objective should not be riches. But if you're going to be a lazy bone, if you're going to be a lazy bum, if you're not going to put your effort in, I'm going to take you to just look at this verse. I want you to explain this verse, and then that means I'll go faster whenever we get there. Where is that verse? Look at verse 26. Okay, so let's read verse 4. Let's read verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. And so what, you're lazy, you know, you're just like, I don't know, man, you know. So he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, I also want to tell you this. When you're diligent, I remind you of 2 Corinthians where Paul said, I labored more abundantly than you all, but not I, but the grace of God in me. He said, the grace of God was not bestowed on me in vain. Right? So when you are a diligent worker, when you are faithful, you better give God the glory, because the only way you are faithful is Christ in you. But now look at verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Have you ever tried this? Anybody ever try this? I was tempted to have Noah try it. But I don't. But apparently, so, okay. I don't think it'll hurt you. Kids, if you try this, let me know. Don't tell your parents. I had my brother-in-law years ago when he was 10, so he was much younger than Deb, and when I was dating Deb. And so I would get him, you know, and I'd be like, there was this jar of olive juice. And I said, hey, Matt, I'll give you $1 if you drink this straight. He did. He spewed it all over the kitchen, and then I was in heavy trouble. But do you remember that? You don't remember that. Do you remember that when Matt, oh yeah, that's good. I'm glad you don't remember that. My mother-in-law, but so I had him. So I don't know if olive juice is the same as vinegar, but apparently when you drink vinegar, it's like, it'll hurt you. So anyway, look, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes. The only thing I dread on the September 26th picnic that we'll have at our house, our grill it's really effective. But whatever those burgers are, we get them from Sam's, and they're good burgers, but I don't know. They must be like the, you know, 15% beef. And because that stuff smokes like nobody's business. How many ever had the Sam's Club burgers, right? Whew, they're good, man. But yeah, Sam's Club burgers, I mean, I am like, the smoke in my eyes. So I know what it feels like. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Listen to this. You don't want to be the guy that's a lazy bum, and then an employer sends to go do a job, because you know what? When they send you to go do a job, and you're a lazy bum, and you don't do the job, you're like smoke in the eyes, vinegar on the teeth, and it's just painful. And yeah, you'll probably get fired. Simple truth of God's word. If you work hard, and you can be trusted, you will make it in the economy of this world. Let me tell you, what employers are looking for today, people that'll work hard and that they can trust. That's more important to them than they want hard workers that can be trusted. The Bible speaks of that. Now look back at verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. I'm not saying everybody that's poor is lazy. That's not what I'm saying. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. In fact, let's jump to verse 15, because I really don't have a discussion on verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. This is a reality, and I see this. And if you're rich, you better learn from this. And if you're poor, you better learn from this. I wish we could have Sunday school. I would love to hear what your thoughts are with this. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. I think there can be something that can be non-sinful in this. I generally am bent to the sinful thing, where it says a rich man's wealth is his strong city. And when you have money, you have less difficulties in terms of the economy of this world. But if it's your strong city and it becomes your hope your trust, what you put your faith on, then that's where it becomes sin. You follow me? But then when it says this, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. The one thing I've seen with the poor, they never can get away from the thought of being poor. Don't let your poverty be your destruction. I'll say this. This is an illustration, right? So I'm going to use the Tilleries as a perfect example, right? So the Tilleries aren't rolling in it, okay? And I love this. And so the Tilleries, you know, they, is this too much? And I love this, right? So you guys, you're content and you're satisfied and you're working hard, right? You're trying to provide for your family, 7 kids, and you're working hard, right? And you're working hard. And so it is the one thing that you've not allowed, because you're not rolling in it, right? Can I borrow $10,000? You don't have it. And so it's all right. You haven't let your lack of funds be your destruction. Critical. Follow me? If you're upset that I use this as an example, right? And so I'll show you their finances after the church services so you can know everything about them. But I admire that. And remember this. That's not easy, is it? Not easy. You're very specific about your grocery list, right? And I mean, I've seen it. I've been there. It's like, wow. It's like, okay. But it's because of need. And I'm not saying this because compared to the world, you're not poor. But compared to the U.S., you know, people be like, wow, I don't know how you make it, right? And it's just God's blessings. You've not let it be your destruction. Anybody in this room, it doesn't matter, rich or poor. Let Christ be your confidence. Don't let poverty be your destruction. You understand that? All of us have known poor people that we want to help, and they can never get beyond, woe is me, I am poor, and it becomes their destruction. Do you understand that? Not because they're not necessarily hard workers. I'm not saying everybody that's poor isn't a hard worker, but there's some great wisdom in verse 15. The first part, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. I will tell you this, if you have financial security, let that be your strong city so you can be a lover of people and a dispenser of that wealth and a giver of that wealth and a helper to other people. Let that be your strong city where you can be uber generous. You follow me? Don't let it be that it's your strong city for self-consumption and selfishness and it actually destroys you. Riches are never spoken well of in the Bible. All right, verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. He that gathereth in summer, speaking again, still about diligence, about work ethic. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. It is gathering in summer, you're wise. Gathering the summer harvest and sleeps during the harvest. I'm meeting with Paul Tobby on Friday, and I love this. So he wanted to meet for coffee. And then he said, where do you like coffee? And I said, nowhere. And so I said, well, if you want, I said, do you like McDonald's coffee? Because I can eat McDonald's. And so then I made this mistake. And I love this. So don't tell Paul Tobby this. And he said, what time are you available? I said, the earlier the better. Whoa, Paul. And I wanted to say, not that early. So I'm meeting him Friday at 6 a.m. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Let me ask you this. Does McDonald's on Martin Luther King open at 6 a.m.? Can I go in there? Okay, bummer. I was hoping you'd tell me, no, it's not till like 8:30, right? 8:30. But it's good. I wanted it to be early because I wanted to link it to some other Bible studies and just get with it. Not at 6 a.m., but it'll be good for me. It'll be good for me, right? I used to get up early a lot of the years ago. I'm just telling you this. It is sleep less. Serve more. The way I think we'll sleep less is when we commune with God more. I'm convinced the best thing we can do is spend time with God in His Word and in prayer. Just talking to the Lord, being in His presence, enjoying Him. But I will tell you, it is, and parents, I know this, your teenagers, they need sleep. But there was a limit and they got up. And you're going to, you know what? You go to bed at 3 a.m., you're getting up no later than this. Go to bed. Saturday night, my kids had to go to bed. Wasn't an option. You're going to show honor to the Lord. You're not staying up till 2 a.m. I don't care. You know, and I know, you know how kids are. Oh, stay awake in my bed. Okay, you can't control that, right? I'm not trying to control that. But parents, I want to tell you this. Tell your kids, going to bed. We got the King to worship tomorrow, and we're going to be alert for the King. I love this. Alberto told me he has to leave somewhat quickly after the service. I love that he's here. School has started. I will finish at 8:30, and some of you might have to scurry on home. I love that you're here. And I promise you, I'm not trying to belabor you being here. But it's, is sleep getting in the way of your progress? Look what it says in verse 5. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. Because you got some preparation. It says, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Truths of the Bible. Look at verse 6. He says, blessings are upon the head of the just. Just, righteous, interchangeable terms. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. It is, when you see this, what follows the wise? Blessing. What follows the wicked? Violence. And again, I tell you this, it's interesting. The more I've been pondering that, the blessings are a result of obedience. Blessings follow the just. Blessings follow obedience. And God is super kind in his blessings, because I don't know if we perfectly ever obey him. And so, you know, when Dakota asked me that question, you know, if our heart's not right, does it matter whether we obey? I told him this, I don't know if I ever perfectly obey. I know, I think I can be holy in moments and stretches of my life, but I don't know if I ever am aware of that, right? But God is so good. He will bless you. You want the blessings of God, do what he says. Know what he wants and do it. It's the key to life. I mean, even in a church our size, it's sort of like, how many of you guys remember the $6 million man? You know, it's a, you know, here she comes, you know, that car. She's breaking up. I see that in people's lives. Oh no, they're going to, you know, and then it's like, we can rebuild him. And the $6 million. Da, 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 you know, and so it is, I see that, guys, I don't rejoice in that. It's happening in our midst. People that say, I'm not going to do what God wants, and they're not, some of them aren't doing it in rebellion. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a fist shaker. You don't listen to God. You can be super docile, super nice, and you're still going to have the is that right-hand column for you? You're still going to have the right-hand column. Who wants the right-hand column? If you don't obey, it doesn't matter how nice you are, you're going to inherit the right-hand column. That's the Bible. God's warning us. Listen, remember, we've heard it for weeks. You got tired of it. Wisdom says, hello, listen, she's on the streets. Come, you simple. And this is the end result, and we're going to start seeing that throughout Proverbs. What follows the wicked is violence. What follows the wise is blessings. Be excited about that. God's not a liar. Verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Blessed memories, name shall rot. Right? It's your name, it won't be remembered. Our name as a believer is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Understand that. I tell people this all the time, and here's my conclusion. I concluded why nobody was ever comfortable with me not drinking on business trips. And so I never did ask anybody, why are you bothered that I don't drink? I probably should have. I wish I had, right? But I concluded this. Here's why I thought they didn't like it, because I would tell them this. I'd say, you know why you don't like me drinking? I'd tell them. I'd say, because I'll remember everything you said. And I say, when you make a fool of yourself, I'll know it. And I said, I will be in control, and you won't, and you don't like that. And I tell people, my memories when I obey God, They're sweet. They're blessed. Let me tell you, it's this. The end of the wicked, their name shall rot. We must, I want to help people. I want to help you. Will we listen? We're not against you. Just the audience that I have here. When you refuse to obey, when you refuse to listen, we will love you. Understand that? We can't fix your problem. Just like this. If you're a lazy bum and you won't work, we're going to love you, but I'm not paying for nothing. Got it? God doesn't want us to do that. Right? I might help once, but it's this. We can't reverse the consequences of sin, and that's usually what people want. You know the way to avoid the consequences? Don't commit the sin. I love this. I can see this in my own life. The simplicity of the Scriptures and my personal stubbornness that goes, why would I not listen with a more receptive heart? Because I've been deceived. Look at verse 8. You look at the flow. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. So I got to remember to do both sides. It is the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The wise, we will listen to God, we will receive the commandments, and when we receive the commandments, we'll do them. Just remember this. When you don't know what to do, do what you think God wants you to do. Just get up one foot after the other, put your pants on, put your dress on, whatever it might be. It is get up and do what you know God wants you to do. That's all that life is about. It is doing what we know God wants us to do, and we will receive all these blessings. Your parents will be happy. You'll be blessed. The Bible is not complicated. This old heart is. Look, if you will, at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. It's this, just simply this. We walk surely, and the wicked are known for perversion. One of the weirdest things with my eyes is, and so I think my eyes are getting better. I think I can see a little bit better. But you know how God's designed our body just beautifully, wonderfully. So my eyes are constantly adjusting because I think this eye, but the bad eye is improving. The bad eye is improving. And so as this bad eye improves, my other eye goes, let's adjust. I'm in constant adjustment. So when I'm looking at you right now, it is not a good, it's not really a good seeing right now. It's like, it's a little weird. So it's going to get better. But my biggest thing is my depth perception. I'm like, I look like an old man. You go, I am not an old man. And so that when it says this, when we follow God, we'll walk surely. I've wondered if God lets me live till I'm 85, what's it going to be like? Because right now I'm like, if particularly when the lights are out at the house, I'm like, and I don't want a video of it. But what I love is this. I want to walk surely in life. There's a lot of unknowns, are there not, Alberto? And I love Alberto. He lets me. You can always tell me you've gone too far, never use me as an example again. And I'll say, probably not happening, but I'll try. But Alberto's a serious-minded young man. It's good. A lot of unknowns in his life. Where's he going to go to college? If he goes to college, what's he going to study? How's he going to do? What's the name of the woman that he is going to marry? And all of the unknowns, right? All of the unknowns. I want to tell you this. Alberto, just listen to this. Just listen to this. I know her name already. I'll tell you later. But it's Alberto. This is the simplicity of the Scriptures. Now look at me. I know you're I can't tell if you're turning red. And it is, It's beautiful. Alberto, listen to this. What God says is, you just do what I say, and you'll walk surely, right? Isn't that beautiful? Because he knows this, Alberto. We all have concerns about it. You're just more open about it, more visible about it, right? You don't think I have tons of doubts? Tons. But what I need to do is the solution for walking surely is listening to God. You understand that? And then all you need to do is just walk, right? Just walk and do what you think God wants you to do, and he'll give you surety, he'll give you clarity. And he says this, he says, the wicked, he says, they are, so let me see, what was that? He said, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. It is this, I pray there's no adults. I just don't know what the world has. There are perverted adults, but I pray they're not here. If you're perverted, and that just means if you're grossly against the truths of God's word, and you're always distorting, and you're always going to the bad, everybody knows if you're a perverted person. If you're sitting here tonight and people know that you're perverted, that you're distorted, there's another word, froward. Remember, not going toward God, but going away from him. You're known for that. I'll tell you this a quick story. I've told it before, but it bears witness for our young people. I was in seventh grade. You've heard this story before. I like to be funny, and in seventh grade was no different. And so in seventh grade, I didn't know a whole lot about, the birds and the bees, but I knew enough to get a laugh, right? I could say things that would get a laugh. Inappropriate things. And I don't even know if I knew all the things that I was even saying, but I thought, funny, funny boy. I told you this story. My reserved friend, he is the complete opposite of whatever a type A is, right? He's like an introvert. And he yelled at me. He said, you're a pervert! Seventh grade. I didn't know what that word meant. And so I was like, I could tell it wasn't good. I literally went home that night and I looked it up. And I don't remember what the definition of pervert was. God smote my heart that night. And I tell you this because my best friend, he was the best man at my wedding. My best friend called me a pervert. He knew that my heart, coming from my lips, were wrong. I remember in seventh grade, I was broken before the Lord. And I decided, I said, I will be hilarious. But not at the expense of godliness. Boogers and gas are still in that. Just so you know, I was a youth director for a while. But anyway, my wife says, you should let go of the boogers and gas too. I go, no, honey, it's okay. It's not perversion. But I just tell you this, you'll be known if you're inappropriate. Should never happen. Should never happen with adults. It's not funny with young adults. We don't talk about, you know what is right and wrong. You never talk about, you just don't. Teenagers, young adults, middle-aged, old people, speak what's right. Speak what's right. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 is kind of unique because it's just on the wicked side. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Again, second time he says, but a prating fool shall fall. It is, and again, this list and this instruction should help you. If you've got friends that are falling into the description of this wicked, the right-hand side there, you need to cut off that friendship. I didn't say you cut them off eternally, but you should not be close friends. You should not have close fellowship with people that are wicked. You can pursue the wicked, and we should, but we cannot let them into our hearts. You follow that? It's a fine line, but you cannot have them as your buds. And so the Bible speaks of this. Look at this. And so you all know this. You know the people. You know the people that are up to no good. They're like, hey, you know what I mean. You know, we're going to the grocery store. You're not, right? We've all been there, right? You got a friend that does that? You need to end that friendship. I didn't say you end eternal pursuit, but you can't have friends like that. Because look what it says. Just listen to God. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. You follow with the eye winkers, you're gonna go into sorrow. And then when the sorrow happens, you know, it's like a woman in travailing in pain. You're like, ah! And it's like, it's too late because the consequences are there. You still should repent and turn to the Lord, but we should not follow them. A prating fool shall fall. It's the loud mouth. And I'm a loud mouth. You know, I mean, my friend, when I was in seventh grade, did he not call me out for that? Mr. Loudmouth, Mr. Funny Guy, Mr. Inappropriate, and he used that word pervert, perversion, right? He was right, and God smote my heart. You're talking, that is 47 years ago, and I haven't forgotten about it. I see my friend every once in a while, and I'll say, thank you. God used you to put a dart in my heart that said, that is not what you want to be. He voiced what other people knew. I speak this, and I'll close. Maybe verse 10 is a good closing point there. I want you to enjoy Proverbs. I want you to enjoy this contrast. This isn't God just trying to keep you from the good. That's what the devil will tell you. Oh, hath God surely said? He knows that when you eat thereof, you shall be as gods. And that's what he does with sin. See, this is God speaking here, and he says this. You want to not listen to me? A famous preacher in America, some of you may have seen, heartbreaking, devastating. Didn't do what God said. Didn't listen to God. Got to a point, I don't know all the details, don't want to. He's involved in things that he himself would have preached were despicable. When we don't listen to God, the consequences will bear themselves, not God zapping you. I want you to enjoy Proverbs. God is not telling us this to keep us from really good things. He's telling us this so that we will live the abundant life. I have come to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. God wants you to love life, to thrive, never apart from him. Stock full of good instruction. Let's listen to God. Let's help one another. This final thought. Let us not be hateful, mean-spirited to the right-hand column. We're going to have it in our midst if we're going to reach people. Somehow we have to stand for righteousness and God in his goodness and love the fool. Sometimes the fool won't listen. We've seen all that in Proverbs, right? Where it says, you know, just last week it says, the scorner will not receive wisdom. We still should love them. Let's pray. Father,